radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Located at Spanish Flowers Restaurant on Durham.
Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Come on, George, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at 6 o'clock tonight. We will begin coverage of the 2024 first round of the NFL draft, thanks to our friends at Big ESPN. All 32 picks will be heard tonight here on 97.5 and 92.5. And then tomorrow night from 6 to 9, Paul, myself, and Dell will have our ESPN Houston draft show, which we will still carry, of course, on Twitch, on YouTube as well. So you'll be able to get your reaction in as the Houston Texans make their selections with us tomorrow night at 713-780-3776. So, Paul, like, obviously, and we're going to finish building out our big board today. We're going to do wide receivers, and then we're going to kind of order.
Ironically
do it, or maybe not ironically. I don't know.
They don't need another wide receiver.
I don't know. Well, so many people want one. Feels like I'm missing. I feel like we're missing out on something.
No,
Paul.
They don't. They don't. They're fine.
Don't.
They were fine before the Diggs trade.
Jose Altuve almost just went deep. But if you could look at just like by position, not players. We're not doing that because, like, you never know in the second and third round who's going to be available, who's not going to be available. But, like, just your first 2 days, like, so in theory, your three best players you draft, what positions are at the top of your list?
Corner, defensive tackle, safety.
Okay. Like, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you're missing pieces at those positions. I wonder how willing the Texans are going to be addressing those three. There's a part of me that thinks they might believe that they can fix
Okuda
or Henderson.
Yeah.
I guess there's still a chance that Steven Nelson comes back. He's not signed as far as I know. Safety, it does feel like they are still enamored with Jimmy Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still enamored with Jalen Petrie? We'll see. It's not like Petrie's spot on the roster is in any jeopardy or anything like that. And defensive tackle, okay, maybe Danico Autry is going to be on the interior, but after that, we're talking about Khalil Davis. We're talking about Kurt Heinisch. We're talking about a lot of guys that seem like they're backups, best case scenario. And look, you're going to rotate through so many defensive linemen over the course of a game that those guys are going to end up playing, but you can do better than what you currently have.
Do you think the Texans are more confident in like their ability to fix these corners or just to roll with what they have at safety?
Probably the latter because of Jimmy Ward.
Yeah, I would think it's safe, too, because like what you saw from Jalen Petrie in year one and then just what Jimmy Ward meant to D'Amico Ryans in the past. And like, he played okay when he was on the field. He's just not on the field. Like, that's what's tough. So that's why even if they believe in them, I get wanting to address the safety position. So mine is pretty similar to yours. I would say, like, my number one option, Oh, thank you.
There we go. Shout out to B. Hannon on the Twitch.
Oh, B. Hannon.
You son of a biscuit.
We'll do this during the break. I'm not going to take a shot on the air.
Why not?
In case it doesn't go well.
What, do you think you're going to jack
it? No, I'm just kidding.
Listen, if it happens, I can't do Jack Daniels. Like, it comes right back up if I do a shot of it.
Yeah, sometimes tequila's not great for me, so we're going to find out. Well, I'm going to do it during the break. I'm not going to turn out tequila shot from behind.
Okay, well, you got to do it at the same time, so I'll wait. No, I'm not either.
So mine would just be a little bit different. Because I don't think the Texans are going to draft a safety that early.
It does feel like, based off of everyone's mock drafts and all that stuff, that the value for safety is in the second or third round. So theoretically, you could get that guy in the third round or something.
Yeah. And so the position I'm going to change mine is because I'm going to go corner, defensive tackle. Those are my top two. I just think the Texans would be, personally, I trust them for the most part. I do think it would be foolish to go into this next season thinking that you can fix two guys who are on their third and fourth
teams. Yeah, I'm with you there. And look,
that seems foolish.
D'Amico Ryans might be a great, great fixer of players who in previous stops couldn't make it happen. And it's not like either of those guys played in great situations. Okuda was there while the Lions were changing things over. They're not what they are now. And then he was on the Falcons last year.
Uh-huh.
Henderson starts with the Jaguars and goes to the Panthers. So I'm not going to act like it's impossible for one of those two guys to potentially figure himself out in an actually good
this
organization.
This is high risk.
No doubt, but it's low risk for them. It was not,
sure.
Like they're taking a flyer on these guys, but the reason I'm looking at corner and defensive tackle in the second round, once you get past the first and specifically like the first 12 to 14 picks, who are generally going to be just the people that everyone believes are special.
Sure.
You get into this area where you're drafting guys based off of traits. You're drafting guys based off of athleticism,
size, general need.
And at those two positions, you want to draft a bigger defensive tackle. The further you get into the draft, the more undersized, the less twitchy, the less strong you're going to get. And the same thing with corner. The later in the draft that you go, generally, you know, there's obviously exceptions from time to time, like Tariq Woolen with the Seattle Seahawks a couple of years ago had a really good year, arguably as good as Sauce Gardner. But for the most part, you're picking early for guys that have those super traits that you look at and say, like, oh, yeah, this guy, if we ever get him to play up to his potential, is going to be one of the best players available.
Yeah.
So earlier, at corner and defensive tackle, I think, is the smart way to at least look at things. But you still draft best player available.
Yeah, so I go corner, defensive tackle is my top two. And then if I had a perfect draft in the first, in the second and third round with their first three selections, my last selection, the one in the third round, would be a running back. And when I look at this team, I just see, of everything they've done on offense, the wide receiver room is very good. I like the tight end room, the offensive line. I don't agree with what they're kind of feeding us about Kenyon Green, but like they're at least, it seems very clearly going into the approach that Kenyon Green's your guy.
You can't give up on him yet.
Yeah.
You gotta have his back as much as possible. It seems like there was more things going on behind the scenes with Green than they've shared with us last year, too.
I agree. But then you have Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
He only has $13 million guaranteed on his contract, so like it's very easy to get out of. Mm-hmm. You could have a year with him, and you can move on this offseason. No big deal.
It was weird that they gave him the extension, but yes.
Yes, 100% weird.
Didn't seem necessary, but they do tend to give players extensions before they've even played a snap here.
Yeah, which is kind of a bizarre thing that they do. And then you have Damian Pierce, who like I just am not a believer in at this point, frankly, with the offense that they ran.
I don't get how you can't be a believer in Pierce, though, based off of what you've seen. Like the scheme fit maybe isn't the thing, but
that's kind of my yeah.
I've at least like with Green, like we've seen almost nothing where he's been great outside of that one Brian Baldinger thing that he did. Pierce is very, very skilled as far as breaking tackles and attacking defensive lines.
I think he would have much more success elsewhere.
You're probably right, but I think this offseason,
yeah.
I feel like there is a chance for a Damian Pierce comeback where I'm not so sure about that with Kenyon Green.
I probably would agree with that, but my third position is running back because like, I'm not.
You should always be looking at running backs, and I mean, that was an issue towards the end of last year. It did feel like depth was a problem, and I mean, Devin Singletary in a couple of games was your entire offense.
Yeah, and in a weird way, like, I guess not in a weird way, but just for the first time in I don't know how long, like, you're also probably drafting a running back with some intent of kickoff return mattering again this upcoming season with these rule changes. Like, what they keep feeding the world is that it's supposed to be this exciting play again, and it's going to matter for the first time since they changed the rules. So bringing in another running back that's just like a little bit different than Pearson Mixon, I would think would be important. And then, frankly, looking at the kickoff return game with that, like, no offense to, you know, Steven Sims, even though Damian Pierce had that great kick return touchdown last year, I just don't know if that's what you want from him on a weekly basis. But that would be my top three is corner, defensive tackle, and running back at this point in the draft, just because it's the most needed, I would think. The only thing that really would shock me, like, and we keep going back to, is wide receiver. Like, if they really felt that they needed a wide receiver that bad, then I don't really understand why they acquired Stephon Diggs. Like, what would a wide receiver do on this team? He's your fifth option?
Yeah, you have too many.
Like, exactly.
Like Xavier Hutchinson is possibly going to get cut, you know?
Yeah.
A guy who you just drafted last year. John Metchie, you're hoping for more from. Robert Woods is still on the roster. There's no reason to draft a wide receiver.
Yeah, if you drafted a wide receiver, you might, like, Metchie, Woods, and Hutchinson could all be cut. Maybe Hutchinson stays. Like, you're talking about dropping two guys out of your room immediately. I don't see the That would honestly just very much surprise me.
Yeah.
At this point, if they took that path. Like I said, reminder, NFL draft tonight here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I was thinking at the – I always do, like, that last mock look, mainly Daniel Jeremiah, because he called the Will Anderson thing last year. What is the team, like, you're most intrigued about tonight in the division, in the draft? Like, is it the Colts just at this point still? But, like, if you see them draft a wide receiver, like, it's just like your radar perks up.
Yeah,
a little bit based on what they do?
It's probably the Colts. I mean, the Colts almost beat you
last
year, and they seem to be well run, where the Jaguars are a mess, and I don't know what to make of Rand Carthon and the Titans right now.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit the other day.
It's too early to judge, but, I mean, I just don't really trust the direction that they seem to be going. Like, Amy Adams Strong thinking it's better to go away from Mike Vrabel and to – be behind a guy who's in his, what, like second year as a general manager after they moved on from John Robinson. All right. Best of luck.
Yes. Best of luck. That's all you can really say.
It could work out. Like, if Levis is great, then awesome for them. But,
yeah.
No, Indianapolis is on your level. I know a lot of people were getting mad about that when we posted this segment talking about like better approach Texans and Colts. But – it's weird that people seem to forget that how close they were to losing that Saturday game. I mean, you know, we talk about being frustrated with the Astros offense and Astros missed opportunities. Now, that was one of those games where the Texans gave the Colts so many chances to win that one. And the Colts just couldn't capitalize on it. And then they have the drop at the end.
Yeah, and it was still like one of like the wildest plays I've ever seen. I still cannot believe they took out their top two running backs and threw it to them in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Like, as much credit as we have given the Indianapolis Colts, that is one of the worst decisions I've ever seen on football.
It's weird, too, because Jonathan Taylor was supposedly injured on that drive, and it looked like he wasn't going to come back in the game. But he comes back in the game, and he plays every down of that drive until that one. And I got to imagine that Taylor was probably like, I don't know what the hell happened there. I don't know why I got carried off.
Yeah. What a weird one. All right, Astros escape. Once again, runners on first and third. For Justin Verlander, he gets out of it, so they go to the fourth inning, up 1-0. What do you want to see the Texans do in the draft over this weekend? But we mentioned Mari Williams earlier, and historically, when people discuss the Houston Texans draft history, the one draft that is talked about the most because it brought in the most impactful players is 2006. And but the question I have for Paul and you all today is last year's draft class already going to be better than that one in 2006? We'll do that next year on Glotton George, broadcasting live from Spanish Flowers on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallantin George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Located at Spanish Flowers Restaurant on Durham.
Gallantin George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So if you look back to Texans history, the one draft that's always talked about in the most positive light is 2006, right? So that's what Charlie Caster was last draft. Right before he left, Mario Williams, first overall, D'Amico Ryans, drafted in the second round, Charles Spencer and Eric Winston, both taken in the third round. Obviously, Eric Winston, a very good player for this team for a very long time. Owen Daniels goes in the fourth round, and then your other good pick would be David Anderson. So you have here, what, five players that contributed to your team for a very long period of time, and a bunch of them were very talented. I mean, Mario's a good player. Like, he was the right selection in the end between the three guys of him, Bush, and Young. D'Amico, obviously, great player. Eric Winston, very good player. Owen Daniels, awesome tight end. D.A., solid contributor for this team. But it's considered the best draft class for just from, like, top to bottom in Texans history.
Oof. I will say it is kind of sad that that's the top, because
it's a low ball.
I think Charles Spencer played two games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of production there, and obviously you now have a head coach from that draft class.
looking through their history, man, they got some rough ones.
They probably have more drafts where there's almost zero players who made an impact on their team.
I'm trying to think of other ones that are even close. 2011, you got J.J. Watt. Brooks Reed was pretty good. But after that, Brandon Harris, who did that stupid incomplete pass dance all the time, that one was rough. 2012, you got some good players. But Whitney Mercilus was never, like, great. He was very good. Brandon Brooks, you let him go to Philadelphia. I don't know why you did that. Ben Jones was pretty good, but a lot of that was elsewhere. Man. Yeah, I'm just looking through this draft history, and I think a lot of it is a reflection of Rick Smith, the general manager. But for the most part, the Texans would do well in the first round, and then all of the picks afterwards, that's where it struggled. Because, yeah, just go back to, honestly, 2008. Omobi Okoye is really the exception in 07. You get Dwayne Brown in 08. You get Brian Cushing in 09. You get Kareem Jackson, who was a pretty good player in 10, though. He was very frustrating for the first couple of years for a lot of Texans fans. J.J. Watt in 11. Whitney Mercilus in 12. DeAndre Hopkins in 13. That might have been the best pick of the 13 draft, 27th overall to get him. Clowney, first overall in 14. You have Kevin Johnson, but Will Fuller was a pretty good player. And then Deshaun Watson in 2017. I mean, you had a stretch where you were just nailing first-round pick after first-round pick after first-round pick. And for the issues that Rick Smith had, then general manager of the team, later in the draft, he did a very good job of hitting the first-round pick. It's hard to do that.
Yeah, that's where it's like, that's part of the reason why I feel like the history of the Texans isn't that great as like a successful winning franchise. Because like when you go through these, also, and you look at these lists, like the Whitney Mercilus year, the only really good player they drafted besides that was Randy Bullock. Like the DeAndre Hopkins year, David Questenberry probably, who didn't even really have a lot of great success here. Clowney, like Alfred Blue is the best player you took in that draft?
Yo, don't
besides
hate on,
him?
Don't hate on Alfred Blue, dude.
I did like Andre Blue. Hall, obviously. He had like
Hal?
Andre Hal, yeah. But like they just have a tough draft history. So 2006 was the best.
It's pretty low bar to clear, is what we're trying to say.
Yes, very low bar.
For all the people that hated on Nick Caserio when he first got here, I mean, you know, just take a look at the two draft classes that Caserio did after what they had in 2019 and 2020. Because, geez, Luis. I mean, Titus Howard, at least you got him. But Lonnie Johnson Jr.
Hey, he's back on the team, though. Don't forget that.
Max Sharping. Kahale Waring.
Oh, the water polo guy.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about him.
Ross Blacklock. Jonathan Grenard, who it seemed like the Texans weren't thrilled that they got, actually. The only good player of those 2 years. Charlie Heck. Oof.
Oof. Yeah, it's bad. 2021's not much better. Like, you got Nico and Brevin Jordan. That's why I don't know.
What about
if
Davis Mills? Just kidding.
I mean, yeah, Davis Mills
got got more starts as a quarterback than you would have expected.
Davis Mills is a competent as a third round selection.
He's a competent
himself,
third string quarterback.
Like
yeah.
he's a that's a very good pick.
It's about as good as you can get. Like he's top shelf like, third string quarterback.
Like yeah, you look at him as a actual draft selection. It's a very good pick. Nick Caserio always just gets crushed for because it was his first decision he made. As the Texans GM, like he didn't have a first and second round pick,
you know,
and they took Davis Mills.
It was pretty funny when I got here back from Seattle and like hearing people like, why do the Texans, why did they trade away like their third round draft picks and like why are they drafting these guys here? It was funny to hear all the nitpicking that Caserio was originally getting right out of the gates.
Oh, they need all these draft picks so they could have a seventh-round pick. Is there any argument that 2023, or is it already a done deal, is already the best draft in franchise history? I mean, 2006, like, there are players who contributed to this team for a very long time who are very good players, but they don't have premier positions.
Well, you have Stroud. I think Stroud kind of breaks it for you. I still think
Will Anderson might break it for you. He might be better than Mario.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's 1 year.
Seven sacks, 1 year. Let's see. It was a great first year. You like what you got from Scruggs. Like, you really like what you got in the first three rounds of that draft. But afterwards, okay, like, I'm not so sure. The 2022 class, I mean, there's potential there still. Stingley had an awesome year last year. Christian Harris, a third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think Damian Pierce has talent. You're not going to be able to convince me otherwise. I guess it's really about, like, is Jalen Petrie the guy that you thought he was last year?
Yeah.
Or the guy that you thought he was in 2022?
Yeah, it's funny looking at the 2022 class. It's a great draft.
Look, it's a low bar to clear for the best draft class in Texans history.
Oh,
and last
year,
the Texans definitely did it with pizzazz. It's not just that they got all those players, but they also made draft weekend a lot more entertaining than we thought it was going to be going in.
Yeah, it's probably because of CJ. It's not even close that it's the best class. I think there'll be an argument pretty quickly that even if you like pretended like they didn't take CJ Stroud and you just look at Will Anderson, Tank Dell as like the two core pieces of this draft, like that's going to be good enough to elevate it in a different way. 2022 though is still like a very impressive group. It's almost frustrating looking at that class thinking like 2 years removed. We still have. You typically have some answers at this point, you feel like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have just so many questions about that draft class because we talked about Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
There's still so much talent there. I do agree with you about Damian Pierce. I just don't know if he'll shine here. You have Petrie, who is this like up and down roller coaster. You have Mechie, who is it's still a great pick. Like, it's still a very good pick. Just like very unfortunate, obviously, what's happened to him. But, like, there is, like, real like there's real depth and, like, special picks in this class that just haven't worked out in some unfortunate ways, but there's so many questions. Would you be more confident that Kenyon Green or Petrie is, like, who you think they were? Or Pierce? I'll even throw him in there, too. I lean Pierce, even though, like, I'm definitely more down on him than you are. But, like, if someone was going to be who they were their rookie year or, like, what the hype was going into the draft, I would put Pierce at the top of that list, then Petrie, then Kenyon Green.
Yeah, Pierce is legitimately very talented as far as breaking tackles.
Yeah.
And runs with a power that I don't think very many running backs have. So I'm always going to swear on that. It's weird how phased out he was at the end of last year, and is Bobby Slowick going to bring him back in, the offensive coordinator? I don't know. I do wonder about that one. But, yeah, if I'm taking a look at all those guys, Petrie had such a great season in terms of being around the ball in 2022, and it almost makes me wonder if that was a byproduct of just how wretched that effing defense was.
That's what's hard to, like, figure out is, like, what is that team that year?
Yeah.
Like, is it just, like...
Well, because Petrie was always around the football. He had five interceptions. He seemed to always be in the right place at the right time. There is a skill to that, but a lot of missed tackles as well. And now last year where there just felt you don't know what coverage is what during a given play.
Yeah.
Like these Pro Football Focus people are talking out of their ass half the time, acting like they know what defensive call was made on a down-to-down basis. But there were a lot of times where it felt like passes that were deep over the middle, Jalen Petrie had no idea what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that actually a reflection of what was happening on the field? I don't know, but there was enough moments where you're like, oh, it seems to be a trend.
And, like, my biggest issue with Jalen Petrie, because we all can explain this one away, is I hate that he doesn't try to wrap tackle sometimes. He just tries to, like, hit people and hope they fall down, and they don't do it. But Petrie would be the guy that I'd be most confident would bounce back this year.
This is something that, at a low level of football, you would learn to do because you're stronger and more fast than just about everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, crappy high school football safety that played at a very low level but was good at tackling people, I always wrapped up and because I knew if I was going to drill somebody, unless I speared them in the head, like I likely wasn't going to drive them back at all. But there were a couple of moments where as I got like through my senior year where I was playing a little bit more, where I did notice that if you launch yourself in the right spot and your shoulder pad hits the right spot, that you could take somebody out without wrapping them up.
Yeah, no matter how big they were, pretty much.
Yeah. You would be surprised. There were a couple of people I remember, like, I was just like, I'm just going to go kamikaze on this person, and I was kind of stunned that I brought the guy down. I don't know how it happened.
See, but, I tried that once. So I just would go at people's knees because I'm a terrible person.
No, you're not a terrible person. You don't think about the injuries. You're still like, I'm just going to bring this person down. But
And then C.J. Fedorowicz just jumped over me.
Yeah? You played against C.J. Fedorowicz?
Yep.
That's fun.
He just jumped over me. That was in, like, middle school, too.
You played against C.J. Fedorowicz in middle school? Mm-hmm. I didn't
in
know
high
that.
School. Yeah. Yeah. He was in our conference.
Oh, man.
He was a freak.
Was he a freak in
like he dunked in
middle
like,
school?
He dunked in eighth grade.
There you go. That's the answer.
He was huge. But he was always kind of like what he was in the NFL, kind of like lumbering. Like he didn't really look like he ran very fast.
That's got to be so disappointing for you that
Dude.
Like you played against C.J. Fedorowicz and he made it to the NFL, but injuries happened and then that was it.
I think I got to talk to him one time. Like I think I had like one interview with him, and I was able to like talk like bring back that stuff and just like where he grew up and like, and then I think he was out of the NFL the next year.
Oh.
Like
the best players I played against were. Dexter McCluster.
Oh, dude, he was so much fun.
Hungover after junior prom at a spring game. And our coach, like an a-hole. I love you, Coach Hayford. But he scheduled an 8 a.m. scrimmage the day after prom.
That's tough, dude.
Which was, it stunk. It stunk. I say hungover. That was before I started drinking. So
when did you start drinking, Paul?
After my last high school football game.
Okay. I was a goody two-shoe.
Yeah, me too.
I waited at least until I was 18.
But I wanted to impress Taylor Clavins. But anyway, yeah, we have this spring game against, I didn't know we were going to play Largo High School. It was a public school, and effing Dexter McCluster's out there, and I got these cleats that don't fit, and I felt like I was anchored down. And yeah. Here's this guy just, like, wiggling people out of their effing shoes. Why is Shorecrest playing against Largo? This is ridiculous. But also, there's some guy named Ontario McCaleb who played for Fort Meade. They were like a school in our district that like cheated and dropped a couple of classes so that they could actually win state.
Okay.
They were like a really good school. Like they were at a factory. And yeah, this guy, I think he played at Auburn. And yeah, he had, I think in two, three quarters, he had like 200 yards rushing against
Damn.
Us.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. I had as many return yards in that game, but that was because we had the ball kicked off to us 10 times.
Yeah, it was, I remember like CJ, like our team was like undefeated.
Hell yeah.
Going to the last game of the season versus Johnsburg, which is where CJ played. I think he had 200 receiving yards and 25 tackles.
Holy crap.
He played both ways.
Was he a linebacker?
He was a linebacker and then like a tight end wide receiver. Like he was all over the place. He was a monster.
Yeah, that's a little
monster.
Scary. Just a little scary.
All right, we'll continue to build out our big board, our final day of this, before we order them up and look at
Thank you, Lance Zierlein,
for for all your hard
it's so
work.
So sexual.
We'll do that next year on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Food and rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hips. Ooh, they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
Before we build out our big board for the final time, I would like to make a nomination. The Killer Bees will be here from 3 to 6, Spanish Flowers. I'd like to nominate someone for Bad Take Boulevard today. They'll be doing that at 4:30.
Who?
I'd like to nominate Cole Thompson
for
Bad Take Boulevard, because he just tweeted this take.
Oh, boy.
Is there a world where the Texans move into the first round because the NFL wants Sketch to announce the pick with the new uniforms? What a take. So your favorite person, Sketch. What's up, brother? Is making a pick for the Texans. And Cole thinks the Texans are going to trade up into the first round just so the Sketch can do it today.
If you don't have anything nice, don't say it at all. Decide. I don't know.
Roger Goodell, I don't know. He makes all the first round
the
picks.
The shameless way with which the NFL is trying to latch on to the clout of this I don't understand celebrity is pretty transparent and pathetic. Be more desperate, NFL. You have plenty of people who care.
Is Sketch going to make more people interested in the NFL? I suppose he does already, because he's a good Madden player. And sometimes he has a nervous tic while he's playing that he totally plays up and has admitted to. And sometimes he celebrates by peeing like a dog. You know,
I did watch him tear his ACL yesterday.
It's really nice to know that our children have real role models that they can follow in the footsteps of, like preventing, pretending to have a disorder. So for clout, I like that. It's the Gen Z way, right? Like all of a sudden, everyone's self-diagnosing themselves with autism. Oh, okay. And here we go. We got Sketch, who is clearly riffing off of this culture phenomenon and has turned it into money. And you know what? I don't even hate him. I don't hate him.
Are you sure?
I don't hate him. Go get your money. It's the American way. Being a con artist and making money is the American way. We saw a president do that. What I want is to understand the people who think his content is good. Why? Why are you the way that you are? How low is your bar? Can it go lower? Truly. Do you have a smooth brain? What are you? What is it that makes you think some person's like, big plays, special moments? Like, what is it in your tiny little brain that makes you chuckle at that?
Okay, well, like, it's funny. Sean just texted us this. I saw this, too, because he was hanging out with the iShow Speed guy. You know who that is? He's the streamer who barks like a dog at people.
God.
But Sketch was catching passes from Caleb Williams yesterday. It looks like he tore his ACL. But this iShow Speed guy, he legit ran a 4.4 yesterday. He's like this little dude, like ran like the he ran a 4.440. Good for him. What's the fastest 40 you've ever run, Paul? 4.6?
4.8.
Okay. See, I called you old, and then I just gave you a lot of credit. Said you're a 4.6 guy.
Well, not a liar like so many people who said that they ran a 4.6. I mean, sure. I know they didn't. I dust people routinely. Yeah, on this past Saturday, I was playing with people that were a lot more athletic than me, I thought, and then all of a sudden I ran one route straight down the field. They didn't throw me the ball, but I was open by 10 yards. No big deal.
Let's build out our big board.
Yeah.
God, the position that matters the most.
I hate that Sketch is a thing.
That's
why I brought him up. I know. I can tell.
I had to get.
I have my triggers.
Wait till he's on the clock tomorrow for the Texans while we're on the air. Can't wait.
Anyway, hey. Since we're already trying to trigger me, we may as well make the last positional group that we take a look at, as far as players that the Houston Texans can draft. Mm-hmm. We may as well make it wide receiver because they have enough. But hey, let's add more.
Always have more.
Let's add more. So, we are going to read draft write-ups, draft scouting reports done by Lance Zierlein. These are actually written by Lance. Prospect number one, Joe George. Gliding movements that disguises his top end speed and separation. He glides and burns past defenders deep or pushes them into retreat.
Okay.
Grab and go acceleration. Catches it short, takes it long, and runs free.
I mean,
into big spaces. Here's the thing, here's the catch. Otherwise, it's the greatest prospect of all time. Lackadaisical to capture positioning and to stack coverage behind them.
I mean, it's really great until you get to the lackadaisical part. It's so good. I think you have to smash. I think I need this wide receiver in my life.
Yeah, I honestly, it's pretty crazy to look at this prospect versus some of the other ones later. And I kind of get, if this is how people are describing him, why all of a sudden he has kind of leapfrogged the number one wide receiver prospect. But this is Malik Nabers from LSU.
Wow. Of course. They need Malik Nabers.
That explains why. I mean, Malik Nabers has randomly, in my opinion, lapped Marvin Harrison, it feels like, in terms of people that are talking about him in the mock draft cognoscenti.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison, part of it's because like he didn't do the nerdy stuff for people. You know, he didn't run a 40. He didn't work out at the combine. I don't think he did the Ohio State Pro Day either. weird story, just not weird story, but just kind of odd. Like Adam Schefter just said, he didn't do any of his NFLPA contract. So when he gets drafted tonight, his jersey won't be for sale. And he currently can't be in Madden because he won't sign it. So for whatever reason. So, but yeah, Malik Nabers is, I think, the number one wide receiver in this draft tonight.
Yeah.
I think he gets taken before Marvin Harrison.
Well, prospect number two. We're reading entirely the erotic selections of Lance Zierlein's write-ups on these prospects. High volume, high impact target.
Okay.
Good rhythm and body control. But he allows grabby coverage too much leeway.
That's not good.
Might not have enough blow-by speed.
That's not good.
Not good.
This is easy pass.
That's Marvin Harrison Jr. Prospect number three, elite ball skills.
Okay.
Did you know that ball skills are often the secret sauce for NFL receivers? Lance Zierlein made a point to write a second sentence about ball skills and secret sauce.
Okay.
He dominates his competition.
Okay.
Has a tendency to cruise rather than working with attention to detail and pacing.
Okay.
So perhaps someone who's not given that extra 10 to 11 care.
No.
That's prospect three.
Okay, do you feel like the second sentence from Lance was to emphasize how good they were? Or just to make a point?
The best ball skills available.
If Lance has to go two sentences on ball
skills.
Juggling
those balls.
If he's got to go two sentences on those, then I got to smash.
Okay.
Not one, but two. You need two of those.
There you go. It's Roma Dunze.
Well, I mean, that's my dream tonight for the Bears. So
we'll see. Where would you have him taken?
Nine.
Okay.
Or trade up.
Okay. That would be pretty crazy.
I kind of want them to do a Nick Caserio.
Three top 10 receivers would be interesting. All right. The fourth and final prospect, because sadly, Lance Zierlein did not have as much erotica write-ups about wide receivers unintentionally in his draft profiles for NFL.com.
That surprises me.
Presents an appealing combination of size and length.
Okay. Strong start.
Length and burst.
You like burst?
Short area shake.
Okay.
Able to bend hips and sit in the chair.
Easy.
You're smashing?
Best one you've said so far.
That's the best one? No, no.
It's not better than Nabers?
Nabers is by far the best. Nabers is like so many good.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is pretty good, boy.
All right.
Smash?
That is Brian Thomas Jr. From LSU.
Interesting.
Oh, guess what? There is one more prospect. One more. Here's prospect five. Sturdy build, which allows him to take on a heavy workload. Flexible torso, which allows for full rotation. Allows defenders to play through him and disturb his catch space. Needs to become a more stationary target when squatting in zones.
Okay. This is like you go on a date and I'm kind of bored. Pass.
Okay. It's Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
I kind of like him because his name is Malachi. Like that little ginger bastard in Children of the Corn.
Oh, that movie's so weird, Paul. Have they remade that?
No, but it's only a matter of time. The weird thing about that movie is to see the character, the actress who plays Sarah Connor in Terminator 2 be a lot more like the character she was in Terminator 1, which is to say a wuss.
Yeah.
Instead of being like a badass. It is a little depressing.
So Justin Verlander went back out for the fifth inning. He had thrown 84 pitches through four. There's now runners on first and second base. I think there's one out left. Joe Espada just came to the mound to take him out of the game. So
great.
Runners on first and second.
Well, hey, when the Astros score first, they have a chance to win. They scored first. The Cubs did not score yet.
Oh, let's get some more runs, though.
Hooray.
That would help.
That would help.
All right, it is our final segment of the show. Coming up next, we're broadcasting live here from Spanish Flowers on Durham. The Killer Bees will be here until 6 o'clock. Just a reminder, we'll have the NFL Draft. First round of the first round coverage begins at 6 p.m. Thanks to our friends at ESPN. You'll hear all 32 picks tonight from about like 7 to 10:30 is when all that'll happen. But garbage time will be next for us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back to Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Located at Spanish Flowers Restaurant on Durham.
Come on, George, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a text here. Apparently, they did remake Children of the Corn, Paul. But it came out in 2020. So,
oh,
like,
fun.
Anything that happened in 2020, like, almost doesn't count. I don't remember anything. Most interesting rumor I've seen about the draft tonight is apparently the Los Angeles Rams, who have had no first-round picks since they drafted Jared Goff, are trying to get into the top 10, not for a quarterback. That makes me feel like they're going after someone to replace Aaron Donald, I would assume. Just curious, like, to have it, you know, obviously they're famous for saying F them picks. Like, that's what we know most about the Rams organization, is that they don't care for those picks at all. They just want certain players. So that's maybe the most thing I'm interested about tonight, is that and where the quarterbacks go. And kind of what we're talking about there, into the, how many wide receivers go in the top 10. I think we're going to see three. I think we will. Because I think if the Bears don't take a Dunze, I think the Jets will. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those teams take us a wide receiver. Honestly, even like, it wouldn't shock me if the Titans took one.
No.
Well, you have Calvin Ridley, Treylon Burks, Hopkins. Maybe not, but I feel like they need another wide receiver the way they operate. I don't know. It's just like that wide receiver room doesn't do nothing for me when I look at the Titans as a threat this year. It's not that good.
Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, not that good.
Not all right. A lot to work with.
We'll wrap up our show as we always do with garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I'm surprised there was no backlash to this. This went under the radar last week. Did you guys see that the Colorado Rockies did something more nefarious than using a Theragun to pass signs to batters?
Yes.
At the plate, which is something they also did. Per 9 News, in Denver, it has launched an investigation of an unauthorized person in the flight deck during a United charter flight for the Rockies last week. Video online shows members of the Rockies coaching staff in the cockpit. So violating FAA rules in a post-9/11 world, where's the outrage for the Rockies? Unbelievable.
Maybe if they were, like, good at all, people would have cared. What a weird story, though. Like, I'm surprised, like, the pilot would allow something like that to happen. Like, you know it's going to get out.
It's one of those charter flights, I'd imagine, so they figure that this wouldn't get out. That's probably why.
Or maybe the pilot was like, hey, like, you can do this, but please don't post it online. And the idiot who took it posted it online. Because we all know those people.
Yeah, everyone's got to have that little thing they're going to post on their Instagram story.
You got to post on the Instagram.
Sometimes I'm guilty of that. But, hey, at least we have this going on.
I mean, it's a great photo. Like, you're flying a plane.
Yeah.
Like, I look great for your what's the one that Jake's on that you're not on?
Raya, yeah. Yeah, that would go great. But the cool thing is, now, at least per old Mayor Pete, did you see this? Airlines now will have to pay you when they mess up. The Department of Transportation has issued a new rule requiring airlines to give you an automatic refund if your flight is canceled or delayed,
okay,
or if they lose your bags.
Okay.
One thing to say it, another thing to execute it, but hell yeah. Justice for the airlines.
I'm curious what, like, the delay will, like, if there'll be a time limit. Like, it has to be delayed by, like, 3 hours, 2 hours. It's the longest delay you've ever had.
The longest delay I've ever had, I mean, I've had flights canceled.
Yeah. Were they canceled before you at least got to the airport?
There was one flight where I got to the airport, and the connecting flight got delayed 6 hours for some reason.
Oh, that's tough.
So we left from Chicago at, I think, 3 in the morning, and I got in
to my place at like 7:45, and I was supposed to do a show, and it was a wedding weekend, and I was just like, yeah, my voice doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I think PC filled in for me.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I was here for that one.
Fun times.
Yeah, I think the longest I've ever been in an airport was like 8 hours. Because we got delayed.
That's brutal.
Well, I got some, I don't know how your family is, but my family, they like to get there really early for no reason.
Well, I think that's a lot of older folks.
Yeah.
Want to get there 2 to 3 hours early.
Yeah.
There's a thing called TSA PreCheck. Everyone should get it.
It's true.
One time I was carpooling with a friend of mine who Jeremy knows, and I did not know that this person did not have TSA PreCheck, because I took my sweet time in the morning. We got to the airport, it's like, oh, you know I don't have TSA PreCheck, right? And I was like, this is something you could have told me earlier.
Yeah, that's on him.
It's also a you problem. How about you?
Fact. Yeah, the you know what's funny too about the airports now is that there's that clear thing.
Yeah, the clear, which is like the alternative to TSA.
Okay,
it's
no longer like as fast as it used to be, because now everyone has it because they give it to you for free for the first month.
Mm-hmm.
Like last time I went to the airport, the line was longer to get through clear than it was to get through the normal TSA.
All the lines are long. The airport experience is terrible. Bush Intercontinental in particular, alas.
I don't fly out of Bush.
Now we're at least going to get some money back. Well, yeah, sometimes you don't always have the choice.
That's true.
Hobby,
mostly
I always
in Chicago is like always out of hobby.
Yeah, on Southwest, yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, because the fly out of Bush to go to Chicago, you have to go to Dallas first.
Hmm.
You have to go Houston, Dallas,
you gotta
to Chicago.
Got to do the connect. That's frustrating.
Stupid.
Also, as far as transportation... a former cameraman for Megan Thee Stallion alleges he was trapped inside a moving vehicle with a hip-hop star in a foreign country while she had the relations with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
He's filed a lawsuit accusing her of harassment and a hostile work environment. In the suit that he filed Tuesday, he said that Megan Thee Stallion told him after the alleged incident, "Don't ever discuss what you saw," then berated and fat-shamed him. The harassment was so severe or pervasive, per this driver, it created a hostile, abusive work environment that made Garcia's working conditions intolerable. Representatives for Megan Thee Stallion and her management company did not immediately respond to NBC News.
Mm.
So Megan Thee Stallion's getting a little freaky-deaky in the backseat and yelling at the drivers to say nothing.
Mm. Cancel. Cancel for this one.
You're going to cancel her?
No. I'm not.
Yeah.
More likely to get canceled. Megan or the pilot or the Rockies coach.
I just want to get to throw the first pitch and get a picture with her like David Hensley. David Swag Hensley.
Remember when people thought he was relevant?
He had a key at-bat, singular at-bat,
yeah,
in the 2022 postseason.
Congrats,
he's a champion.
Yeah, congrats Alex Bregman. Just got his 1,000th career hit.
Hell yeah, dude.
A little blooper to right field.
No one in scoring position, noticeably.
Nope.
But hey, you know.
Now there might... Nope. No runners in scoring position.
Guess what? Houston is the energy capital of the world.
Uh-huh.
And it also is the silver medal for worst air in the United States.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I thought it would be first, no offense. Pretty surprising that Riverside, San Bernardino, and Ontario, California is number one.
Okay.
With the worst air quality in the country. It only had 54 good air days, 59 that were unhealthy for sensitive groups.
Okay.
Albuquerque, third. That's surprising. Greater Chicago, fourth. Greater Milwaukee, fifth, which is right next to Chicago.
Yeah.
So because Chicago must not be so good.
No, probably not. Probably why I can't breathe my life.
This is, yeah, that makes a lot
just
of sense.
Going from bad air to bad air.
I mean, you get used to it after a little bit, but it takes some time to get used to all the allergies and the, you know, chemicals, petrol in the air.
Fact. All right, that does it for us today here on Gallant and George, broadcasting live from Spanish Flowers. We'll be back tomorrow at noon, and then Paul and I and Dell will be doing 6 to 9 tomorrow night for our 2024 draft show, as the Houston Texans will have 3 selections tomorrow night. Maybe not. Maybe they'll have a selection tonight. The Killer Bees will be up next year from 3 to 6. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.